From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Monday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio, starting another work week with you this morning. Ole Miss loses 2 out of 3 to South Carolina in Columbia over the weekend. Did pull off a 6-5, 10-inning win on Sunday that was vital as they move forward with 2 weeks left in the regular season, then a week in Hoover, Alabama as well prior to the postseason. So we'll talk some baseball today. Neil's going to give us a minute-by-minute breakdown of the Deborah Kay School of Dance recital over the weekend, and we will...
Oh, Lord, help us.
We will go from there with this Monday podcast, a podcast brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. Go get a fountain drink for 49 cents, bottomless refill, stay hydrated that way. Or, maybe you like Neil, after a Saturday, need a little more juice in your life, a daiquiri for as little as $3. A lot of flavors available there at the Oxford Exxon. Ribs, plate lunches, $4.99 and more. You can go next door to Oxford Crystal and get the Red Hot Shake. You can get plenty more there as well. You can mix and match 5 for 5s and more at the Oxford Crystal. And we're coming to you again from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are. Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is the number. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you are looking for, and he'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's really that simple. There's no haggling. It's none of that banter stuff that you have to do at a lot of car dealers. It's just right to the bottom line. Here's the best deal that you can get, and then it's up to you. At that point, you have your quote. You can shop it. Certainly, that's a lot of people, that's the thing to do. You can call around, see if you can use that that quote as leverage, or you can go ahead and let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many others who listen to the podcast, including me, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. You get a great Ford product, great service after the sale, delivery options, all of those things from Clark Ford to make it even better. Tell Corey at the end of the deal that you heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention this podcast. You can mention the Beer Garden, the Soft Verbal, the Greatest Pod in the South, any of those, $500 off. The bottom line, from Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900.
So, got 10 thoughts on the board. Got a commentary that I wrote yesterday after Ole Miss survived Sunday in South Carolina. It's kind of a – we've all done it. I'm kind of changing my wording on this. It would be a commentary, not a column, right? Because a column says it's in the same place every time, meaning you own that column in that space.
Yes. Right? That's technically accurate.
Okay.
It's probably one of those things that over time has morphed into meaning something entirely different, that you can now write a quote column online where there's actually no real column. But yes, truest sense of the word, a column was the old, say, Rick Cleveland column down the left.
That
was his column.
Yeah.
We used to write, quote, columns, end quote. I know unless you have ESPN9, you can't see me doing the air quotes. We used to write columns in Mobile that would be sometimes down the left side, sometimes down the right side, sometimes on the bottom, wherever it fit. So that's my point.
Do you have a catchy name for your column? Do you have one of those?
No, because I fought the damn thing when I was covering Auburn, and they
Neil's Nuts and Bolts on Tuesday morning.
None of that.
From the sidelines.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah. No, I never did. Because when they told me that I was the Auburn beat writer for 6 years, and when they told me, "Hey, you're going to write a column every week about Auburn," I said, "No, I'm not." "Oh, yes, you are." "Well, no, I'm not. That's really bad. That's a really terrible idea. This is not a good idea. This is not going to go well. I've got to cover these people as a beat writer, as an objective journalist, and you're wanting me to editorialize. which is just going to piss them off and damage relationships with the people that I need from an information standpoint. It's a bad idea. Let the columnist write the column. I'll write the beat, unless you want to promote me to columnist, at which point I'm in. I lost that debate. I had to write a column, and so I spent the first several years as a column writer, as a beat writer, having to write a column, trying to be as unopinionated as possible in the column.
Okay, do you do that by writing human interest columns, or do you do that about writing duh columns?
I did it. What I did was I wrote basically a series of features. It called them a column.
Yeah.
I would just delve
so-and-so
a little.
So-and-so is a good dude.
Yeah.
Column.
Yeah. That damn Ben Leard, good dude. Good dude. Good family. Mom's nice. Dad's nice. Pretty good football player.
Grady, colon, Hal Baird had hell of a career.
Yeah.
That's my column for the week. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. And whenever I learned on that beat, whenever I had to say something negative, I'd warn them, hey, look, I got this column coming out that I have to write.
Heads up.
Yeah. No shots taken. Only took a shot. No, I didn't take a shot. Only the most negative thing I wrote as a beat writer. Remember when Ole Miss went there and beat Tommy Tuberville and
24-17, Corey Peterson caught the pass.
Yeah, that game.
Yeah.
So after that game, Tommy was emotional. Not like tears, but he was pissed off. And he came to the media thing faster than he normally would. Normally 15 minutes. You know, he was sitting, we wait. He was always pretty consistent, 10 to 15 minutes. This time he's in there 3-4 minutes after the game. And he starts off by, it's a game where they, not only have they lost the game, but they lost their quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts off with, I bet you a dime to a donut or something along those lines that Ole Miss won't take that many people to South Carolina next week. And I wrote in
the, come on, Tommy.
I wrote in the column the next week. All I wrote was someone probably should have given him a few more minutes of timeout. Don't worry about it. That if 3-4 years from now, and I don't mean this as an insult to Ole Miss, but you got to keep in mind the times, that in 3-4 years from now, if the Ole Miss crowd is still something that he's worried about, his tenure at Auburn didn't go well. That's what I wrote. That you got to turn the page. And he,
this is over now, so
it's over. And you're not the coach at Ole Miss anymore. Yes,
I came here once now. It's
yes, they're emotional, and next year's going to be emotional, and then it's got to be over. You've got to move on. You're the coach at Auburn. You got to worry about Alabama and Georgia. Basically, what I wrote. And he sought me out the next day. He was, you went after me, and I was like, no, I didn't. I didn't go after you. I wrote that on the following Thursday. They're getting ready to go to Tennessee with Jeff Klein as their quarterback. And he found me that morning. He goes, you went after me, huh? And I'm like, no.
So that would have been a,
like a Thursday.
Who's the quarterback of Tennessee that year? Because that's 99.
Yeah, I don't remember. Okay. Tennessee got him.
Because T. Martin was the year before.
Yeah, Tennessee got him pretty good.
Did they?
Yeah.
What was his record that first year?
He went like 5-6.
Oh.
4-7, 5-6.
But quarterback gets hurt.
They won at LSU, had a big win at LSU early in the year and smoked cigars and all that stuff.
Yeah,
and
then, yeah, I remember that.
And then Ole Miss got him. Leard got hurt.
And the rest is history.
And it kind of went to hell.
Lost to Bama.
Yeah, I think so.
Don't know.
Seems like they did lose to Alabama that year.
The next year, you came over here for days, didn't you, leading up to Tommy making the return? Didn't you come over
early? No, I came over. In fact, I drove up here. No one cares. I drove up here on the Sunday. I got up in Baton Rouge on Sunday morning. Auburn had played in Baton Rouge. If I remember right, I got up and drove to Oxford on Sunday. Ole Miss had just lost at home to Vanderbilt.
Okay, in 2000.
No, this was Tuberville's first year at Auburn.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And I got up and came up here and was trying to find people to talk about Tuberville week, and everybody here was still pretty pissed off about the Vanderbilt game. And so I'm like, this is before Oxford was, air quotes, New Orleans on Sunday. Oxford was kind of dead on Sunday, and I needed –
kind of a ghost town to find folks. So you frankly would have been better off going to, like, Taylor Grocery or somewhere and just sitting for an hour.
And it all worked out. I basically begged people to talk to me, and I got enough and went to the press conference thing on Monday and then got in the car and drove to Auburn.
Alabama actually won the West that year. They went 7-1 in the league and beat Auburn 28-17 at Jordan-Hare.
Okay. And then Auburn won the next year, I think, because Tommy got going at that point. I think Auburn won the West the next year. I can't remember. It's been a long time and I'm old.
That makes some sense because, you know, that was that Ole Miss team that should have been better than they were, that 2000 team.
Yeah.
That had a lot of pieces.
Auburn came over here and beat Ole Miss in a game that—
second week of the year, beat them 35-27 at Vaught Hemingway.
It's a game Ole Miss should have won. Ole Miss was the better team. I would dare say Auburn, the risk of pissing off a lot of people, was better coached that night.
Auburn beat Alabama 9-0 and then got beat by Florida 28-6 in the SEC Championship game.
Yeah, that's right. That team, that was one of my favorite teams I've ever covered, full of really good quotes. People don't understand this about beat writers. We love teams that are full of good quotes, and that team had tons of them.
Senior year, Deuce and Romero, that Ole Miss team went 7-4, 4-4.
That team should have been better than that.
7-5, 4-4, sorry. Yeah,
that team should have been better than that.
Because they lost to West Virginia in the bowl game that was Eli's first game.
That was Deuce McAllister versus Rudy Johnson. And Auburn was pretty clear. They're going to give it to Rudy as much as he can handle it. And Ole Miss played around with Deuce too much.
Shows you stadium size changes just in less than 20 years. The capacity attendance at Vaught Hemingway that night, 52,368.
And it was electric in that place. Remember, McAllister had a punt return for a touchdown, and that place was loud.
Yeah, I don't recall the game just off the top of my head. But
Auburn was ahead, and it seems like they punted to Ole Miss, and McAllister took it back for a touchdown, and Tupperville blew a gasket on the sideline, but that place was loud. That's about all I remember. I remember Auburn kind of controlling it in the fourth quarter on the ground. That's about it.
That was Rudy.
Yeah.
Is he a JUCO guy?
Yeah, he was a JUCO. He played at Butler County in Kansas. Yeah. Okay. And he was a good quote. That was a team full of good quotes.
So,
Cole Kublik was on that team.
Yeah, that's right.
A lot of good quotes on that team.
So, Saturday, you spent a little time at the dance.
Sunday.
It's all running together yesterday.
I spent Saturday
at a soccer facility.
So, Carson had a game at noon. Yeah, noon, 12:30. I don't know. 1 o'clock, something like that. So, we got there. They went on there an hour early. I don't know why. And I'm going to tell you what, kudos to the city of Memphis for tricking enough people to pay all that money to go park at that complex. There's not enough parking. They don't tell you that. They just take your money. Not enough parking, and the fields are just, some of the fields are okay. A lot of the fields are trash. It's just mud. It's just off. Anyway, we get there. He plays a game at 1, and then they don't have another game scheduled until 6. So we found, we went to Hickory Tavern, I think is what it's called.
No idea, sure.
Good place. It's over there near Firebirds. Nice place, nice people. They were really good. Carson enjoyed his meal. I had a couple of beers. And his game, the storm came through while we were in Barnes & Noble. The storm came through and pushed everything back. So instead of him playing at 6, they didn't play till sometime like a little after 7. So we got home late, had to turn around and go back Sunday because they had a 10 o'clock game. Had a 10 o'clock game, played a game.
One,
actually, I believe, shockingly. I got there, realized I didn't have a cap.
Did you have to go buy one?
I did. I bought a Chelsea cap. He likes Chelsea.
Where'd you find a Chelsea cap?
There was one of those big soccer things set up with all sorts of soccer stuff.
Sorry, yeah, I gotcha.
And all so right. I bought an $18 Chelsea cap, figured he would like it. I wore it for an hour, gave it to him as soon as I was done. He was pleased.
Really?
Victory for him. Yeah. Got back, and Caroline had her.
What's the logo on it?
It has the little lion thing on it, and then the little crest.
All right.
It was a little busy for my taste, but
go ahead.
Anyway, it did its job. It was either that or a Team USA, and I realized, we didn't even make the World Cup.
So your patriotism is kind of fair weather.
Yeah, a little bit. We ought to make the damn World Cup. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, the recital. 3 hours. It started at 3. It did not end until just before 6. For those of you who don't know what torture is, that is torture.
You had your phone. It wasn't like a theater thing where you have to turn your phone off for the 3 hours.
No, I had my phone, thank God. So I live tweeted a little bit, but you can't take pictures or anything. I wanted to take photos and live tweet.
That would have looked negative toward the participants. And you didn't mean for that to be.
No, I did not want to insult my daughter. Yes, thus the SOS tweet.
Yeah, you and Richard Cross had a little bit of a back and forth, and I went, oh, God, because she's, again, as I've said on numerous podcasts, she's not my DNA, but my child is incredibly coordinated. So,
well, good.
I'm walking into...
It's almost time.
I'm signed up for gymnastics this summer.
Well, I'm going to get in touch with Kara here later today and say, you know, I think dance is a great idea. A great idea, and I think you should start as early as possible. Because one of the first...
Never too early.
Never too early for dance. One of the first acts was the little young girls. They were very cute. They mouser-sized.
Like 2 or 3 year-olds. Three-year-olds, probably.
Yes, about 20 of them. And all I could think was, cha-ching!
What do you mean?
Oh, there's a lot of money being made off those three-year-olds.
No, it's life skills, Neil. It is life skills.
Life skills. Cha-ching. Life skills. And they're standing there, and they're just kind of standing there. And the older student aides and stuff are trying to encourage them to mouser-size. But they're standing there in front of a large group of people that are all watching them, and most of them are stage shock. And so we did the Mickey's Mouser-size song for 3 or 4 minutes, and that's how we kicked things off.
We had our end-of-year program at CLC on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
It was only about an hour. I left before the four-year-olds got up there. So, but I stayed about an hour. My child, she's actually the young ones class, but by the end of the year, they're all two for the most part. They did the little Baby Shark song thing. And
that's taken off and become a big deal.
They were like the shark hats, had to wear gray gray shirts or whatever, and... My child was by far the most active. At one point, kind of started twerking. At one point, pulled her shirt up. Someone sent me a text in the middle of the thing and said that his daughter was kissing kids on the playground, but she had yet to strip on stage, so he wasn't sure which one was worse. But I said, you know, at least there was no pole involved. We were okay. But yeah, it's Kara told me like a day later. She goes, hey, that video of that on Facebook is getting like thousands of views. And I said, well, I typically can't get that for baseball videos, so congratulations to CA, but we'll see.
The Baby Shark thing's a big deal. I saw where several like major league or minor league teams have like done the Baby Shark thing in their clubhouse. That was the first I'd heard of it, because we're a little out of that stage of life at this point.
Yeah. So it was fine. It's well done. I like the people there. I'm happy. It's all good. So,
they do a good job.
Yeah, you've had history there as well. So yep.
Been a while, but yeah.
Yeah. All right. We'll talk something you actually care about, but it's our podcast. Talk about what we want to. After the break, we'll talk baseball. But first, I'll take the podcast brought to you in part by MasterCuts. MasterCutsLawn.com, 662-607-7773 is the number to call to get year-round lawn care and lawn service. And remember, when you do that, you get free pressure washing for driveways and sidewalks. You have no idea how dirty they are until they are clean. Also, $50 off a pressure washing job of more than 2,000 square feet when you sign an annual contract. They've been using them for a while. You should too. 662-607-7773.
Remind me, as a point of reference, when we come back, before we go to baseball, I'm going to ask you something about lawns. Yeah, I am. I need to ask. I'm curious. I want to get your thoughts. Podcast also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. I know it's difficult to believe right now, but it will be football season before you know it. People will be congregating in the Grove, and you want to get all of your tailgate stuff worked out ahead of time. 7 South Tailgating is the way to go. They're celebrating 10 years of business this season. If you try 7 South Tailgating once, you'll never tailgate without them again. 7 South Tailgating will set up your own personal gear, or you can rent everything from them. No one's going to match their customer service, their attention to detail. So whether you're coming up for every game and you want to lock it down for the whole season, if you just come up for the SEC games, or if you maybe you're coming in from well out of town and you're just coming in for one or two games, it's cool. Get in touch with 7SouthTailgating.com. Kyle Thornton and the people there, they can take care of you no matter how much, how complicated or simple your tailgate is, no matter how often you're coming up, if it's just once or if it's seven times or anything in between, 7SouthTailgating.com. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with the live person. There are no 10 buttons to push, no 5-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often, so be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. Ole Miss and Auburn at Swayze this weekend starts on Thursday night at 6. Tickets available, olemisstix.com. That's olemisstix.com. In the event that you live in or around the Jackson area and you're not going to be able to make it up for Thursday, you wait until Friday to come up because, you know, you have work and school and those kinds of things. Come out to Cathead Distillery in downtown Jackson. See Jay Tate and myself. We will be taping a Greatest Pod in the South presented by Cathead Distillery at Cathead Thursday. We'll probably start a little before 5. We'll wrap up by 6, and we'll turn the ball game on. Ole Miss and Auburn from Swayze. You can watch it with us at Cathead in downtown Jackson.
Lawn care.
Have you seen my front yard?
Well,
it looks terrible.
I walked in this morning, but I was on the phone. So, no, I did not look around, smell the roses, look at
Chase Parham on the phone. A shock. breaking. No, it's terrible. And people are saying, well, maybe it's because you have to flush the pool, the salt water.
So, okay, define terrible. What's up?
It's dead.
Oh, it's dead. Okay.
I mean, there's like these giant brown patches.
What kind of grass do you have?
I'm not really sure because it's the grass that we've had for 10 years and it's always grown.
Yeah.
And so when people say, well,
it's not just like dormant Bermuda that's taking a minute.
No. Okay. People say, well, maybe it's where the pool, you flush the pool. Okay, but I've had this pool for 5 years or more and I've always flushed the pool and I've never had this problem. And if I had that problem, okay, on that side, but not on the other side and not in the back, I can't blame the pool for that. I don't know what to do, and if I'm going to have to re-sod the yard, this is the weekend to do it. Because if I wait any longer, it's going to get really hot. And next weekend, I've got a school visit thing, and the weekend after that, I've got to at least plan on being in Hoover, because I don't, you know, I'll be at the mercy of the Rebels, and they could go into Friday or Saturday, obviously. I could be in Hoover, and then the weekend after that is June, and no matter what's going on, now you're super hot, and you can't keep the grass. You run the risk of the sod dying. So if I'm going to
plant, really late to the party already.
There's no question I'm late to the party. But if I'm going to do it, I could still do it this week and water it because it's not brutally hot yet, though the high on Saturday is 90, which is pretty freaking hot.
That's pretty freaking hot. Yeah,
but
I didn't look at it.
It's not hot all day long.
Well, you don't have any weeds. That'd be the positive.
That's true.
And you get pretty bothered by your yard.
Yeah, I'm kind of that way about that. I like it to look good.
Yeah, you're a touch anal about the yard.
Yeah, for sure.
Not terrible, but
so I got to know whether I have to get the tiller. Do I have to get a tiller and till it up? Because, man, my back can't handle that. Now, I can do the sod. Because I've got a truck now, man. I can load up sod in the back of my truck. I can make stuff happen.
I need a web series where Neil just drives people around in his truck. Just drives around the truck, talks, conversation.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Coffee with Comedians with Seinfeld.
Yeah.
McCready in his pickup.
Got my truck. Got the Black Lab plate on the back.
You do have the Black Lab plate on the back.
I got to get a plate for the front.
Why? I'm kind of past that. I used to thought that was important, and now I have no desire and don't want one.
Right now I have the Clark Ford plate on there, which is really good, and I like the Clark Ford plate. But sometimes
why do you need another one?
Sometimes I just want to change it up and have a little fun with it.
Oh, so weekly you're going to change your plate on the front of the truck?
That would be funny.
Be really confusing. That's how I recognize people is by plates on the front of their vehicles.
See, there you go.
You had thunder plates for a long time. And
I did. I had a thunder plate for a while, and it broke in a car wash.
Did it really?
Yeah.
They warn you about that it could happen.
They do. They let you know that's a possibility.
Okay. Should have got out and taken it off before you got inside.
Well, that would be a lot of trouble.
It broke, didn't it?
It did. Still was usable.
Just had a big crack down the middle?
Well, just a little part of like the silver.
Chipped off?
Silver had kind of come off.
Oh, okay.
So it looked like a distressed Thunder logo.
Cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
Cool.
Like all a right. Yeti sticker.
30A Yeti, 26.2.
I've never really understood, unless you work for Yeti, I've never really understood why you would like, hey, I've got a great cooler. I don't really get it.
Well, they give it to you.
I get that.
Apple.
Yeah.
Apple gives you the sticker. I bought a $2,300 laptop and I got the sticker.
Look at me. Sticker.
Yeah.
And the whole 26.2 thing. I do laugh at that.
As I've said, the 26.2, whatever, it's when, I mean, because I've done this and I still wouldn't do it. It's the 13.1. It's like, so, hold on. You just did half of what they're putting the sticker on about? Yeah. I mean.
You did half a marathon? Congrats.
5K. Fun run.
Yeah. I do like the ones like, I've seen one that was like 0.3. Yeah. That cracked me up. The 0.0 is like, so you're proud of yourself for being completely unfit. But the one that's like 0.3 makes me laugh so hard.
There's a middle ground there that is kind of like, okay.
I did see one. It was like 1.16, and I giggled for 20
minutes. Now, I will
say,
in saying all this, the dudes that do the Ironmans, I just clap. Like, you put a 70.3 on your car?
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Congratulations. Yeah. I'm very envious, and I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
So, it's fine. I get it. But anyway.
So, baseball. The people are like, good, please get the baseball. We're getting there.
It's in written form already, but I'll repeat myself.
They had to get one, and they got one. They got one in the least conventional way possible, but they had to get one, and they got one. Anyone that was shocked at – forget the scores for a minute. Anyone that was shocked that Ole Miss didn't get – 2 out of 3 or more at South Carolina has not been keeping up with the SEC this year, sans Florida.
Look, road teams are not winning in this league this year. They're just not. I mean, the league is good enough that other than Alabama, it's hard to win on the road. I mean, it's just tough in other people's stadiums. It's got a basketball-type feel to it from a record standpoint this season. I joked around with somebody Saturday. Somebody walked up to me Saturday and goes, hey, blowout again or something, was kind of mad. I said, hey, if you're going to lose in the blowout, you still got some pitching left for tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, you lose 2-2-1 games and you wasted all those dudes, and then suddenly you're in shape. You know, you're in a bad shape when you needed those guys on Sunday. I mean, just quickly from an individual standpoint, Greg Kessinger had a really good overall weekend. A lot of it was in the two losses, but he has swung a really hot bat the last couple weeks. Chase Cockrell, 2 home runs. Nick Fortes had a home run Sunday. Parker Kiraisi gave them 70-something pitches and 4 innings of shutout relief on Sunday. Huge there when they had to have it. Because, look here, I get it. There's a lot of people that are so, you bat this guy lead off and you do this. I don't worry about role, especially in the college game.
Right.
High leverage is high leverage. Parker Kiraisi pitch the seventh inning because they had to have a zero in the seventh inning. If you give up four in the seventh, it doesn't really matter what's going on in the ninth here. There won't be a ninth for that matter. So, no, throw your best guy whenever you need that out. I don't care when that is.
I agree with
that. And Parker threw the seventh, the eighth, the ninth, and the tenth. And got out of a heck of a jam there. One inning, they had corners with nobody out and got out of it. Carolina didn't score a run. So, he was fantastic for the second week in a row. So, maybe they're getting him back to normal. I did not see velo readings on Dallas Wolfolk, but he was okay, best I could tell. They got it. They got the one. Now, here's where they are. They're 36-13. That's good.
Yeah.
They are 13-11. That's good. That's fine.
Sure.
They've got Alabama here in 2 weeks. It's on the road, but Alabama sucks. So yes.
What did Alabama do over the weekend?
They should have at least beaten State 2 out of 3. They lost 2 out of 3.
Okay.
In Tuscaloosa, State got 2.
Okay.
State scored 8 runs in the 8th inning on Friday night to win.
8th inning runs count.
They do. Yes. Yeah. They're 9 innings. They all count the same.
Yeah.
So
you're welcome for that insight, by the way, out there in podcast land.
While this was huge, though, was you lose yesterday. You're 12-12 instead of 13-11. And Casey Mize is coming to town on Thursday.
Oh, you're 12-13.
So, tough game on Thursday.
Well, I mean, because the Governor's Cup counts against you. And then Mize, I know, but it's what you said.
It does,
I'm quoting Anthony Chase Parham.
Yeah.
So, then Mize is coming in, and Mize just stymied Vanderbilt.
He doesn't lose much.
He's a stud.
You need Rollison's best effort, and you need to find a way to get Mize the heck out of there, which is also hard to do because he's kind of like Pomeranz. He just keeps throwing pitches. It's hard to run him.
Well, so, you know what he doesn't do? He doesn't waste a lot of pitches. If he's ahead of you 1-2, he doesn't
– you're just out.
He doesn't tinker with 1-2.
There's not the 6-9 away white pitch that so many teams throw that's just okay.
I hate that pitch.
Suddenly you're 2-2, then now a close call or a miss, and it's 3-2. The thing gets away from you quickly on that 1-2.
Yeah, 3-2, and then you walk a guy, and now you're piled up pitches. He just comes after you, and he throws – like the other night, he was throwing everything for a strike. And when he does that, it's over. You're not winning.
Look, maybe he's using perfect motion, and he's fine. He's throwing a few too many split fingers for my taste at the college level, but at this point it is what it is. He's stayed healthy. He's going to go first overall here in a few weeks.
Oh, you think he goes before Singer?
Yeah. I'd rather have Mize than Singer. If his arm tears up, fix it. Whatever.
Well, there's a certain school of thought to that. I mean, it's just a year.
So, here's the thing, though. And this is where I'm battling a little bit. Ole Miss at 12 or 13 in the RPI this morning. RPI is a really dumb metric, frankly. I mean, Iowa took 2 out of 3 from Oklahoma State.
Okay.
Oklahoma State's winning the Big 12. Iowa dropped 4 spots in the RPI.
How?
Because other teams they had played lost games, and that counts more.
Okay.
LSU takes 2 out of 3 from Arkansas and moves up 2 spots. Like in the 50s.
Yeah.
It's a mess. Yeah. Anyway, point being, okay.
I still think it comes down to conference record more than anything else.
Well, and I'm getting into that here. Okay. So, and credit to Colin Brister, he did all this research. I did not, but anyway, he sent it to me, and I'm stealing it. Since 2002, there have been how many ever national seeds in the SEC?
Okay.
Okay? All but one of those has won at least 20 SEC games.
Including the tournament.
When you count the SEC tournament, because the committee counts the tournament just like a Friday in March.
Okay.
Which is, again, dumb, but I digress. The one that did not was South Carolina. And that team went 4-0 in Hoover. I'm sorry, no, I had something almost mixed up. That team had a rainout, so they finished one short of whatever anyway, and they won the SEC East.
Okay.
And finished 2nd overall.
Okay.
So they ended up with 19 wins, but they went 18-11 in the regular season, won a game in Hoover, and won the East. Okay, fine.
Okay.
That's fine. The only team that did not, or sorry, that lost more than 12 games in the regular season in the SEC that was also a national seed was that other South Carolina team I was referencing. 2004, I believe, was the year. And they went 4-0 in Hoover in the SEC tournament. So they went heavy on the other end and whatever. Does that make
sense? All right, it does.
You can win 20 and not get a national seed, but there does appear to be a very clear line of demarcation for needing to win 20 to get one, if that makes sense.
For Ole Miss to get to 20 – there's some work involved.
18-2, 18 wins regular season, 2 in the tournament, or either getting white hot in Hoover, one or the other.
We're getting white hot these last 2 weekends.
Well, yes, one or the other.
Yeah.
They're at 13. That would be 5 of 6. The easiest way to get 5 of 6 is to beat Auburn twice and sweep Alabama.
That's a tall order.
It's a tall order. But that's the best case if you told me to predict how they got to 18 and 12.
So what do they have to do to let's take it one step at a time. Because at this point, I'm kind of being keep it real guy. At this point, a national seed.
It's a conversation for a later date.
Ole Miss is if the tournament were seeded today, Ole Miss is not a national seed. What does Ole Miss have to do to be just to make sure they host a regional?
Well,
17 wins?
Minimum of 16, because they're not going to give a 15-15 a host, I don't think.
Okay.
So, minimum of 16.
Okay.
Don't lose on Tuesday in Hoover would be my suggestion. You mentioned this yesterday, and it's so true. You're just gone so long when you lose on Tuesday. You're out of the tournament before most conferences start their tournament.
Yeah, you could play if the tournament were seeded today, Ole Miss would be the 5, if I looked at it correctly.
I haven't looked at it, so sure.
They would be the 5, so they would play the 12
on
Tuesday
night.
Yeah, so you could get upset, and you're done Tuesday night. And when the committee kind of gets together Wednesday or Thursday, you're not even in the mix. You kind of get forgotten.
So, RPI is at 12. It's only going to be fine this week. They get to add Auburn to their RPI totals for 3 games. Auburn's at 7. But Ole Miss is at 1.
Of course, then they add Alabama. Those aren't good.
5. They're at 5th in the SEC in RPI right now.
Yeah.
12th overall. Here's where they're in good shape.
Okay.
Your argument for them to be fine and hosting at 16 is they have really no bad losses.
Right.
And they have series wins over A&M, Arkansas, and Georgia. That's why you need to beat Auburn, because you get to add them, and suddenly you've got a really, really nice top-tier resume. They're currently 6-3 against the top 25. They've got 11 top 50 wins. It's very, very good.
In this scenario, they would have at least one more, probably two more, because they'd beat Auburn.
But here's where it gets stupid, and while you're right, it's all on conference record. The committee changes its relevance to certain stats depending on who the team is.
No.
Oregon State's going to get a national seed. They haven't played a team that's in the top 25 nationally.
Yeah, but see, they're out in the Pacific Northwest.
Haven't played one.
Yeah, but they're out in the West, and so it allows you to grow the sport.
Haven't played one. None.
Yeah, but they're out in the West, and you get to grow
Kendall
the sport.
Kendall thinks East Carolina is getting a national seed.
I do, too. I told you that a week ago.
They're at 13 in the RPI right now.
Got to grow the sport.
I've got a hunch if Ole Miss finishes this thing kind of at script, East Carolina is going to be the 8, and Ole Miss is going to be the 9. East Carolina, the last national seed. Ole Miss, the first non-national, meaning if it went chalk, Mike would have to go to Cliff in the Super Regional round. They could be cute with East Carolina getting to host and get a weird matchup in the
Where
process.
Where is East Carolina?
It's in Greenville, North Carolina.
Okay.
Yes. Just a hunch there. But
probably right.
I don't know. Just a thought. Okay. Let's rank them a little bit. Florida, I'm taking Florida out of the equation.
Except for the fact that Florida is going to get some of the quota of the SEC Super Regionals.
Well, they're getting one, yes.
Yes, and they deserve it. They're in.
All right, Georgia is in an interesting spot here. Hold with me.
Yeah, I'm with you. They're 13-11 in the league.
Georgia is 15-9 in the league.
15-9 in the league. Oh, South Carolina's 13-11.
Yeah, Georgia's 15-9 in the league, 33-14 overall.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
They have, let me find it. They have group one, 15 wins against group one RPI teams.
It's a lot.
15-7.
Yeah.
They have a great resume to this point. They really, really do. Ole Miss now has beaten them, so that's a plus, obviously. Georgia has a couple weird things, though. They got swept by College of Charleston at one point this season. Okay?
Yep.
They lost a series to Vanderbilt. They lost a series to Kentucky, and they lost a series to Ole Miss.
Okay.
So they already have 4 series losses, even with all the other stuff, okay?
Okay.
Here's their finish, where they have to earn this puppy. This week, they go to Florida in Gainesville. Florida has won 18 straight series. Probably going to be 19.
Georgia's got to win one game.
They close at home against Arkansas.
Ooh.
If you lose both of those, let's say you go 2-4 the rest of the way.
You're not in the picture.
You're at 17. You've got two more top 25 wins. You're at 17 top 50 wins, but you've lost six series. You've lost six of 14 series.
They would be a team that would go to Hoover with a lot to win.
Yeah, a weird resume because great positives and then kind of weird negatives too.
Yeah, and the way you finish matters. I don't care what anybody says, the way you finish matters.
Arkansas at 16-10 against the top 50. Great numbers there.
They're 14 SEC wins right now. Is that right?
They're 14-10.
Yeah.
They lost 2 out of 3 to LSU over the weekend.
Yeah. Let me say this about LSU. It's why I'll say this till forever. LSU in the month of May, they become a better baseball team. And it's not the coach. It's the freaking water science.
Okay. So Arkansas,
it's true they get better every year at the end, even when there's no explanation for it.
Arkansas is kicking itself right now because they got swept by Mississippi State when really one win would have put them in a different category and let me kind of move them out into another section.
For sure.
But their series losses, they lost 2 out of 3 at Florida.
No big deal.
They lost 2 out of 3 at Ole Miss.
No big deal.
They got swept by Mississippi State.
Big deal.
And then they lost 2 out of 3 to LSU.
Probably not all that big of a deal.
They finish, again, really, really tough. A&M at home.
Tough.
And at Georgia.
Tough. They got to win 4 games.
You think they need 4?
Yeah. See, I think – are we talking about national seeds?
This is kind of my point. What if nobody does this? Does the SEC get 1 national seed?
You just made the committee so happy.
What if there is a complete and utter log jam at like 16, 17 wins, and everybody just beats –
how long have you known me?
Let's say Florida goes 6-0 down the stretch and just starts cannibalizing everybody.
That could happen.
Could, sure. There's a path here for everybody to be stuck even after Hoover at like 19.
Sure.
But now look, here's what's going to happen. One team gets hot. Somebody's getting hot.
Yeah, it might be Florida.
Well, no, other than Florida.
Okay.
There's another side of the bracket in Hoover.
Okay.
Somebody gets hot, wins 3 in Hoover, and that's how the committee decides.
And they could leave it at 2.
Yeah, it could be anywhere from 2 to 4, in my opinion. I don't think it's 1. I think that's a little hard to do, but.
And I don't think it's 4. Not because it doesn't deserve to be 4, but I have a very strong theory.
It's been 4 one time, and that was a weird season.
I believe it's going to be 2 or 3, at 3 at the most, because I just believe that the committee is going to, by God, grow the sport, damn it.
Yeah, there's no signs that grows the sport in any way whatsoever.
Well, of course not. That's why I make fun of it. It's a regional sport. Because of weather, not because of the sport. I love baseball. I'm not picking on it. But college baseball starts in February. Well, it's cold in the Midwest in February. So it's not going to grow in the Big Ten and in the parts of the ACC and the Big East and that part of the country. It's not going to grow. It's amazing, and I do this every year. It's tired. I'm sorry. If you're a longtime listener of the podcast, thank you for your patronage. Forgive me for what's about to happen. Why does nobody get upset? And this is not me picking on hockey either. I like hockey. Why does no one get upset that we don't grow hockey? Hockey, the ice four or whatever they call it in hockey. The frozen four. When it's like Minnesota, Duluth, Minnesota, Boston College, and Michigan, which is great. Good for those programs. I mean, I'm cool with it, really. Why does no one ever go, you know, there's just no South and West representation? Hockey's big in the South. Nashville's, there were a gazillion people in Bridgestone the other night. I mean, why is that not a big deal? And don't get me wrong, it shouldn't be.
Well, the answer is because they don't play in the same division. It's literally impossible to put them in the tournament.
Well, I know, but why is there not an emphasis on then growing the sport?
I guess that's two different conversations because you literally would have to make the SEC teams play Division I hockey.
I understand.
For a committee standpoint, they're not even an option, so it's just place the people and whatever. Does that make sense?
It does.
You at least are an option.
But in my hypothetical, let's just say that programs down here said, hey, you know what?
Oh, I think there would be.
You think there'd be pressure?
I think there'd be a little engine that could that goes, well, hey, Kentucky's great at hockey. Why, Lexington, put them in. Yeah, no, I think there would be.
It does make you wonder, and I know this is a stupid conversation, and there are people over at Ole Miss who control purse strings who right now are going, you idiot. So makes you wonder if when they built the pavilion, did they look into like a cooling system where you could put ice down?
Well, look, if Ole Miss added a sport, you got to remember Title IX. It'd be gymnastics, right?
I would think
that would be the next sport.
Be easy to set it up
because
in
from
the
an
pavilion.
SEC standpoint, Ole Miss doesn't have gymnastics, equestrian, swimming, and diving.
Right.
Those are the four. Unless I'm forgetting something.
No, I think you're right.
Vanderbilt doesn't have softball. And I feel like somebody doesn't have women's tennis, but maybe I'm wrong.
People would go to hockey games, though.
I've been to a few Ole Miss club hockey games. They're fine. They're fun. It's cool. I went and watched them play Alabama at the Ice House in Olive Branch. It's all right.
Yeah.
It's cool. They get decent crowds, I think, at times when they go to Tupelo and play state. It's fine. Wrote a story on John Gatlin. He was on the Ole Miss hockey team.
Oh, yeah. Anyway.
Auburn, by the way, has won 11 of their last 13 games. Their RPI is up to number 7. They have probably the most similar resume to Ole Miss at this point, which is what makes this weekend so big.
It's big, man.
And you're at home.
Look
at two. Get two.
We do this all year. So I said, you know, had to get one at South Carolina. And they did. And a lot of people want to fire people and fire people and all that stuff. If you don't get two this weekend, it was a bad weekend. It was a bad weekend. You have to get two this weekend. And that's a tall order when Mize is going for Thursday night.
Yeah, because you might have to get two out of two.
But you got to get two.
Yeah. It's right there in front of you still. Everything's right in front of you. You're
oh, sure.
In good shape.
If you win two and then go to Tuscaloosa.
If you win two, you've got scalps of A&M, Georgia, Arkansas, and Auburn.
And you go to Alabama, and if you get two there, you're good.
17.
You're at least hosting. That's locked in, and you can go to Hoover with no pressure.
At 17, you're hosting.
You're hosting, and you probably go to Hoover as one of the top four seeds.
So you get that bye. You're going to play two
games. You're going to play Wednesday and Thursday, and if you win one of those two, you're going to play on Friday. You're in the eyes of the committee, and it doesn't really matter at that point what you do. It means you got another win, so you'd be at 19, 20 SEC wins. You'd be in the mix. You'd be playing perhaps a very meaningful Friday game in Hoover.
That's fair.
Where if you lost it, it wasn't the end of the freaking world.
Yeah. But if you won it, you go, hey, we're in this thing.
You're in the mix. But you lose two out of three this weekend, and everything gets tenuous.
You also run into a couple, at least relative, RPI bombs potentially in Hoover for that first game when you start getting into that, too.
Yeah.
You'd like to stay in a nice part of the bracket where I'm just playing against Arkansas and Auburn and Georgia and Florida and all this
stuff. Who knows what Ryan Rollison would look like on a Tuesday after pitching on Thursday? Would he be sharp? I don't know. Be a lot sharper on Wednesday, I would guess, than he would be on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Been going all year. Hadn't pitched on the short rest.
If you get the bye, you probably don't even throw him until Thursday. Probably just keep him on. He's got to throw anyway.
Right,
so.
That's what I'm saying.
Just keep him on schedule, and if you happen to win on Wednesday with somebody else, then bully.
Yeah, well, that might be where you throw a Roth in a big park and say,
throw some fly balls, bud.
Here you go.
We'll go run it down for you. Yeah. So, anyway, as we continue
It's important weekend to win two games. That's the bottom line.
It is. Podcast brought to you in part by Brandon White at Keys to Dream Travel, completely free service specializing in Walt Disney World and Disney Cruise Line vacations, taking the stress out of planning, taking care of dining and fast pass reservations, transportation, and anything else related to your vacation. An expert in getting you out of line and onto more rides, no matter the crowds. Mention the podcast and get a $25 Disney gift card. And contact him for a free, no-obligation quote, Brandon at keystodreamtravel.com or 901-634-8687.
Chase referenced my 10 weekend thoughts. They're up on the site. The site's rebelgrove.com. In case you haven't heard of it, it's part of the rivals.com network. You can subscribe to it, and there's stories and message boards and everything right there at rebelgrove.com. They're brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than he does. Go to his site, harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties Neighborhoods tab, filter through by what you're looking for, and then send him an email. It's ha@harryalexander.com. Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan is the place to go. It's located just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. Has a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Great lease deals as well. Go in, talk to Gene and Sandy, test drive one today, and tell them you heard about it at the Oxford Exxon podcast, and you'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan.
Podcast also brought to you by Tyson Drugs. TysonDrugs.com is the website. They've got a great app. In addition to that, to take care of your pharmaceutical needs, also 662-252-2321. When you give them a call, give them your doctor's name, get the prescriptions ready, and deliver them to you wherever you are. They're also now in Oxford with G&M Pharmacy on South Lamar, giving you the same great hometown service.
Podcast also brought to you by Gambrell and Associates. Gambrell and Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their site, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Superlawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state, so you know you're getting a great one when you get Gambrell and Associates. They handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford at 662-281-8800.
So that's where it is. I mean, we'll continue to talk about it all week, but, you know, Thursday, the path is to try to hit a two-run home run at some point, frankly. That's how you beat Casey Mize, is you run a ball out of the yard. I think Florida beat him 3-1. They had Singer going through a heck of a game. That's been about it. I mean, he has not been roughed up. He has not been touched much this season because – I mean, you look at him, and I'll throw some videos up on the site later in the week to kind of show you what he does so well. But that fastball moves. It's hard. That split finger's very, very deceptive. He's kind of got everything. I mean, it's probably a tick higher, and I understand what I'm saying here. It's probably a tick higher what opponents always thought when you were able to run Drew out there on Friday nights. I mean, it's that kind of arm going. So, look, if Ole Miss has one hit, no runs through four innings – don't do the message board thing if they didn't show up to play today. I mean, there's
– fire the hitting coach.
There's a guy on the other side that's pretty good chunking the pill at him. So it's,
he's the guy that if his arm holds up, he's going to be pitching in the major leagues soon.
A lot of people think he could help right now.
Yeah.
He's that dude. So
he has major league stuff today.
Yeah.
If you like baseball and you like pitching and you can your heart can take it, you should go just to watch him pitch. If I didn't have a speaking engagement on Thursday, I would go to this game just to watch him pitch.
Do you guys have a few show topics lined up for Thursday?
We have some things. We'll probably do some sports stuff too. And then I'm going to follow up with Jay because I've had some people come to me with this. So Jay doesn't use Siri? What does he use? I found out, thank God, because I really started to question myself because I use Siri a lot.
Yeah, I'm not a big Siri person.
But I found out that I am not alone.
Oh, you're not alone at all. I just don't. She understands me. We get along fine.
Now you have an Alexa.
Oh, at home now, I use Alexa a lot. Alexa and I are much tighter than Siri and I.
If you're driving, like if you were going to Norman, Oklahoma, and you were trying to find a hotel, how would you have done that?
I would have used Siri for that. Yeah. Well, I say that, I also probably would have actually pulled off and used just the Hilton app on my phone and scrolled through it. Oh,
okay.
But yeah, I mean, I will let Siri read my text messages to me in the car and let me send text messages in the car. I will do that. But that's about it. Like, I don't use, even though it will come up on my navigation screen in my car, I don't use the Apple Maps function through my phone if it is navigation. I don't like it as well as just what's already in my car. So I don't use a lot of the Apple products on the road traveling like that. I just, for the most part, I don't. But I'll use Alexa a good bit at home. I mean, I will even to the point of changing channels and things with Alexa in my house, in my TV.
See, I don't have an Alexa. I need to get an Alexa.
Yeah, she's, because I use Kindle Fire as kind of my streaming service, or Amazon Fire, if you will. It's not streaming service, would it be? I don't know, whatever. So she could operate pretty much whatever, because you can hook them up together. The Alexa in the kitchen will listen to the Alexa built into the Fire TV.
Gotcha.
So they communicate back and forth.
Gotcha.
Can, you know. But like if I'm washing dishes, I'll go, hey, Alexa, play Jeopardy, and I'll play around to Jeopardy while I'm washing dishes. And it keeps track of your scores, and it gives you, you play, basically can play a new game every day. and it'll be new questions. It'll tell you if you missed
pretty cool.
It'll tell you if you missed a day that week. If you'd like to replay it, you can kind of just mess around. So
yeah, that's pretty cool. I didn't know that existed.
Yeah, it's fine. Alexa's good. Yeah. I have no issues with Alexa. So Jay does use a service though, or no?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know?
No, I got to figure that out.
I put this on the message board yesterday. I'm still very partial to the Cathead Honeysuckle and the Lemonade. However, I did discover that if your significant other would like something a little sweeter, or if you just want a taste that's a touch different, it goes quite splendidly with Simply Peach, the peach juice. Simply doesn't have the tartness. It's a little too sweet for me. But I did taste it and go, yeah, I get it. It's all right. So if you'd like to mix it up a little bit, the Simply Peach works quite well.
Okay, time out, friend. Uh-huh. Friend read 10 thoughts, was very nice about it, informed me that perhaps I'm wrong about something. The teams that get the bye in Hoover, I know it's the East Champ and the West Champ. Is it top two in each division?
No, it is East Champ, West Champ, guaranteed 1-2, okay?
Okay.
And then it's the next two best seeds or records overall.
Okay, so I got one right.
Yeah, like let's just hypothetically say that Georgia goes on a big run, finishes 19-11, Florida's 22-8 or whatever, and then Auburn, Arkansas, and Ole Miss are all tied at 17-13, if you will.
Okay.
One of those teams tied at 17-13 will be a higher seed than Georgia at 19-11 because the West champ is guaranteed the number one or number two seed. Georgia would then pull in at number three. And then whoever had the tiebreaker between those other two teams not already placed would be the four seed.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay, yeah. 1-2 guaranteed, and then, you know, but like there was one year, 2011 was the year. The SEC had three national seeds from the SEC East, but Arkansas won the West at like 14-16.
Yeah.
So under this format, they would have been the two seed, and then the other ones would have filled in at 3-4, and somebody would have had to be the five.
Gotcha.
Okay. It's pretty easy. It's not a tough bracket. They don't do double elimination on Saturday anymore, and they don't flip the bracket anymore. So they've made it as user-friendly as humanly possible.
And I'm glad. By Saturday, if you're in it on Saturday, it doesn't really matter anymore. Other than getting the big paperweight.
The big pyramid?
Yeah.
Is it a pyramid? Yeah, it's a pyramid.
It's always been one.
Yeah.
I know people are saying, well, you always want to win a championship. You do.
The regular season one is the thing with the teams down the sides, then like the little caricature on top.
Yeah. Or is it the big piece of wood?
Yes, yeah, the wood with the two slants out from both sides, yeah. And it's got like all the teams listed, yeah. And then it's got the whatever the sport is on top.
Gotcha.
But I think the tournaments are the pyramids.
I believe that's correct.
The black pyramids.
The big black paperweight.
Didn't I tell you this changed? Wasn't there some other one for basketball or something?
That's what you said, but I can't remember.
I don't think there was a pyramid involved.
Why do you change it? Once you've established a big black pyramid as the trophy, keep a big black pyramid as the trophy.
I mean, it's not as bad as some trophies. It's fine.
That's okay. I mean, it's not woodshop.
No, it's pleasant enough.
It's okay.
It's fine.
Put that thing down on your papers in the middle of a storm.
They're not going
anywhere.
The Saturday doubleheaders in Hoover were kind of fun, but they're useless. They're meaningless.
They were fun, but you could almost see the coaches agonizing.
Ole Miss played Vanderbilt four times in two Saturdays over 2 years there at one point.
And those were great games, and and here was the problem.
They cared too much.
Neither team, it didn't matter.
But
both teams played so freaking hard,
yeah,
that you could so easily, and I know fans are going, well, that's the point. I get it. Until your star shortstop slides into second base trying to break up a double play in a meaningless game and blows his ACL, and all of a sudden, there went your postseason. And that's what the managers, the coaches were thinking. The coaches were thinking, you know, if I didn't hate that bastard across the way so much, and I didn't hate their team so much, I'd let them have this one.
But instead.
Yeah. My problem is I'm trying to tell my kids, hey, be cool, and I'm trying to tell myself to be cool.
And I'm not being cool.
And in reality, I don't need this game. And if we win this game, like Ole Miss did the one year, I'm going to have to throw our water boy against Mississippi State tomorrow afternoon. We're going to get beat, and my fans are going to be all pissy because of who it is, where if that game were against Maine Central, nobody would care because you'd already clinched a national seed.
Well, it was 07 when the morning game – I think it was 07. It was 08.
I was covering them.
It was 08, the morning game, when they almost had the benches clear because Matt Smith tipped his hat to the Vanderbilt dugout when he hit a home run.
Yeah.
And got into it with the first base coach. And then from Vanderbilt won the early game. And then you knew tonight, we're going to get some fireworks here when no one really needs fireworks right now.
And then Ole Miss won a heated game.
And had to play LSU at 3 o'clock the next afternoon.
Was it LSU?
LSU. State was 05. Okay. LSU was 08.
Because I covered both of those games. I guess I covered
one for the Berman. Yeah, I used
to have to come up for Mobile and cover the whole tournament no matter what.
Did you really?
Yeah.
That was fun for you.
And it was just like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And that was when we had the whole,
Well, and that was back in the years that every time early in the week, John Solomon would release some indictment on pitch counts and coaches in the same story every year, and everybody would be pissed off in that park at him for a good 4 days. It was kind of fun, honestly, in some ways, but... Solomon was obsessed with pitch counts in the SEC.
Yeah. I remember that. Some of the counts, like 147, and you're like, yeah. He's kind of got a point. what I remember was Mobile would be like, hey, we really have to justify this expense. And I'm like, does anybody in Mobile really care about the Kentucky-Vanderbilt baseball game that starts at 9 o'clock at night? Seriously? Yeah, you need to be there. Just write up a couple paragraphs from it. Oh, my God.
A couple paragraphs?
So I'd be at the ballpark like that Wednesday, Thursday.
You never just sat at the hotel room and took the release at the end of the game?
Mm-mm.
Really?
Never.
That's
did.
Pretty professional of you, because Tennessee, South Carolina at 9 a.m. for a Mobile crowd. Well, I got plenty of time today. I'll pull a quote.
I would go. Just in case somebody ever asked, I'd be able to say I was there. So I'd be there all freaking day.
The year before, that 07 thing, one of my favorite deals, I've probably talked about this before, is Ole Miss loses a nail-biter at the end of the night against Vanderbilt, late game on that Saturday. They had a lead, blew it. I think Satterwhite gave it up there at the end, maybe if I have it right. And Mike was pissed during the post game. And he gets done with the interview, and Neil will know what I mean. When you're walking out of the Regents Park, you have to go back through all these other rooms and upstairs and whatever, and a certain media member that's now in media relations looked at Mike, and he goes, hey, Mike, just curious, you know, you went ahead and threw that guy tonight. Why would you do that? Because if you'd have won, who would you have started tomorrow? And the look Mike gave him, and he there was a 3 seconds of processing is, do I cuss him right now or do I just walk off? And common sense prevailed, but it was really, really close right there. Because at the end of the day, who cares?
Yeah, what difference does it make?
You could have thrown me the next day and been fine.
If the earth were flat.
Yeah. Vanderbilt did actually throw a kid one year that had been a manager the year before. Somehow he ended up the next year on the roster, and they threw him in the SEC tournament.
Probably throwing 96.
Yeah, you know, yeah. It was fine. He's parade All-American. Just ended up as a manager.
Just a water boy that year.
It was the start of the Corbin era. It wasn't quite as obvious as it is now. But
you know what's interesting is Florida will be interesting in this deal in Hoover. And we've got a long time till we get there.
They've got to play twice.
But if you're Florida – you don't want to be – being there Saturday, and I know
– I think not only national seed, I think they're guaranteed the number one national seed.
Yes, you have nothing to gain, literally, unless someone says, hey, just so you know, you could relegate your way into the American League East tonight. There's nothing to gain. If you're the number one seed, well, there's nothing higher than that.
Do you make a mockery of it?
Well, no, because you don't want to get in bad habits, but you don't want to win either.
Do you want to lose two in a row?
No, you want to win one, but I don't want to be there Saturday.
See, their problem is they're good enough offensively to just hit their dang way through that tournament.
Oh, they might be literally too good to lose.
Two in a row at least, for sure.
Yeah. And they get...
You start hitting tired pitching, and suddenly they're just going to score runs.
Well, you get into Saturday, and people's bullpens are shot.
Yeah.
And now you're pitching the middle dude. and their middle dude's probably pretty good. And so the the coach there's thinking, yeah, I kind of need to go home. Don't really want.
I think their perfect world, honestly, is they get a benefit maybe of that Saturday single elimination and just lose on Saturday and go home.
Get out of there.
Yeah.
But if they're still hanging around the Galleria on Sunday morning, so it's meaningless.
Might be a really good thing for the team on the other side, well, hanging around in the Galleria on Sunday that might actually need that thing.
Well, once you get to Sunday, you might as well win it.
That's true, too. But you got to play it anyway.
The whole Friday-Saturday time is when you're in Florida and you're thinking, how do we get out of here before somebody tries to make, you get wrapped up in the emotion and all of a sudden your right fielder and your center fielder collide.
Mm.
And you get a separated shoulder and a blown out knee.
That's a good point.
And now you're the number one national seed and you're playing two dudes off your bench in the outfield. That's the problem with that tournament. If you've got it clinched up, you just got to figure out a way to get out of
it. As of right now, they're the only ones that can feel that way. But
well, yeah, they're it. They're the only team in that kind of unique. Everybody else might be playing for their lives out there.
Podcast also brought to you by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Settle County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting that understands your market, a leader in condo financing, and the float down option. So check out Community Mortgage with Jason Lowe at 662-234-2704 or JLowe, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com.
We will have a guest on the show throughout the week. They'll join us on the Billy's Pecans hotline. Billy's Pecans is a great way to handle all of your corporate gifting. They know the perfect crunch for every palate, whether it's a gift for a corporate client, presents for the staff, tokens of goodwill for a referral. From 5 to 5,000 orders, Billy's Pecans can handle it all with expertise and excellence, all with their signature Southern style, with items at every price point you simply can't choose wrong, whether it's the gift bags, the party trio, the pecans and chocolate, the cheese straws, so much more. They can handle it all in delicious fashion there at Billy's Pecans. You can go to billyspecans.com. That's B-I-L-L-I-E-S pecans.com. Or 1-800-624-7404. The podcast is also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high-ticket product or service, it's HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, that kind of thing. Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application with rates as low as 4.9%. Terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores to 580. They will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. Ben's waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today. And hey, Ole Miss fans, living in or moving to Dallas, if you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Metroplex, give Lauren Valick Ferris with Briggs Freeman Sotheby's a call. Lauren is consistently ranked as a top agent producer in D Magazine. She was recently named a 2017 Advocate Top 10 Realtor in the Lakewood, East Dallas area as well. So whether you're moving home, buying, selling, or referring a friend in one of the hottest housing and job markets in the country, you need a realtor who knows the town. That's Lauren Valick Ferris. Give her a call, 469-867-1734, or go to her site, laurenandkelly.com.
Just looking at the other side quickly, I'm going to mention Missouri in a second. First, Ole Miss softball team does clinch a berth in the SEC tournament. They took 2 out of 3 from Georgia, which was number 5 team in the country over the weekend. Georgia, I think it was their first series loss of the season as well. So by doing that, Ole Miss yesterday gets a little help from Mizzou. Florida beats Missouri to give Ole Miss that final spot. Missouri, the one team left out of the tournament, and the tournament is in Columbia, Missouri this weekend. So they have that going for them. But Missouri was also a really good softball program when they joined the SEC, and now it's going down too.
League's tough.
Well, they've had a lot of off-the-field crap. You know, like coach got fired, and they've had, like, players petitioning with charges and stuff. Like, it's been a shocker. Something on the Missouri campus has been a little odd the last few years. Missouri baseball is where I was going with this quickly. They've had a traumatic 2 weeks that probably is going to keep them out of the tournament now. Their RPI is still at 32, but it's down 8 spots in the last 5, 6, 7 days. They're 1-5 in the SEC the last 2 weeks, and they're now 9-15 in the league. If it started today, they would miss Hoover, actually. So RPI is good, but I don't think it's going to be enough unless they get hot, and they have to go to Columbia, South Carolina this weekend. So the nail could be in the coffin for the Missouri Tigers here pretty soon.
Yeah, it really could.
Because you're not getting in – I mean, absolute best case is 13-17, and I still don't think you're getting in at 13-17.
No.
They do play Tennessee the last weekend of the year, but as of right now, Tennessee would be in Hoover and Missouri would not. Tennessee has a game lead right now.
Wow. That. Yeah. Tennessee would be the last seed.
Yeah. Tennessee would be the last seed in right now.
If the tournament were seeded today, Ole Miss would play Tennessee.
Ole Miss would be the 5 right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Because Georgia has the tiebreaker over Ole Miss. No.
Ole Miss beat Georgia.
Ole Miss would be the 4. Ole Miss would be the 4.
Okay.
I stand corrected.
But is it just a 2-way tie or would it be a 3-way tie?
No. I'm sorry. See, I'm confusing Georgia and South Carolina. Georgia would be the
Georgia would be
the 3. South Carolina would be the 4 by virtue of the tiebreaker over Ole Miss.
That is correct. Yes. Those are the only two teams at 13-11?
I believe so. Let me make sure. I looked at this last night. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that I was completely sober at the time.
Auburn's in that tiebreaker too, so we can't actually fully do that tiebreaker until this weekend.
Luckily for this scenario, the tournament will not be seeded today.
It will
not. I mean, it won't. There's games to play.
There will be a release sent out by the SEC today that says Road to Hoover and then gives me the top 8 seeds. I promise it will hit my inbox at some point in the next few hours. So
right now, if the tournament were seeded today, Florida's 1, Arkansas's 2, Georgia's 3.
Ole Miss slash Auburn are 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Well, no, South Carolina's
Ole Miss,
too,
South Carolina, and Auburn
four,
would
five,
be
six.
4, 5, and 6 in some order. I think what would happen is you would have a fist fight of the 3 people, like a battle royal, and whoever was left standing would get the 4.
Each team send one person to the ring, one player.
Yeah.
And have a?
Have a battle royal. You have to be thrown over the top rope.
Do you send one of your better players who could potentially get hurt but could win, or do you send a scrub so even if you lose, you're not losing an actual player?
Well, this is where if you've recruited properly, you sort of have a enforcer, tough guy sort of kid on the team.
Like hockey?
Yeah.
Like a Fulton Reed type?
Yeah, just somebody whose their job is to be there for a scrap.
I mean, like Auburn's not sending Casey Mize in the ring.
Well, no. No, any more than Ole Miss is sending Ryan Rollison or Parker Krejci in there. Although
Krejci's pretty big.
He is, but today his right arm is probably useless. He's fighting one-armed.
You know, Rocky did that. Followed the other hand did. Yeah, Rocky, did, too, for a little did. While. So.
But he trained with Apollo first for a long time.
Well, no, that's when he's fighting Apollo. That was 2. Rocky 2 is when he fought.
Oh, you're right.
Right-handed.
You're right. Are you excited about Creed 2?
I'm in, and I will watch. I'm not excited. It feels forced. I'm really terrified we're gonna get a Rocky 5 here, and we go one too far.
November 21st is when it comes out.
And they like Christmas, Thanksgiving, yeah, holiday releases.
I'm in.
You're in.
Oh yeah.
You don't think we're gonna run the risk of having a Rocky 5 problem here? Come on.
Well, we know it's gonna end in a kumbaya moment.
It's Creed and Drago's kid. Is what we're doing. Avenging the death of Apollo. What is this? The trailer?
Yeah, it's the trailer.
Oh, I haven't seen a trailer. Oh, hold on. Send me the link. Let's give it to everybody.
Right,
at least
the
volume.
Hold on. Let me find it.
Everybody hang in. You've been here for whatever.
Tight. We're going to get this to you. Boy, you talk about a podcast that. Why you people listen to this, I don't know. But we appreciate it. Let's see.
Message me the link.
I was going to say, do you want me to message or
yeah,
text?
Yeah, I'd like you to message. Yeah, text it. That's what I meant.
I meant.
I've got my iMessage up. Right. You can send it. It's a great pod while Neil tries to figure out iMessage, copy and paste.
There you are. I had to find you. Believe it or not, I had a lot of messages over the weekend.
Did you?
I did.
You have friends?
I wouldn't say friends, but I talked to a lot of people who wanted to talk to me about things.
Okay. We don't have any headphones in, so I can't tell if this is going to work.
Well, hold on. I'm going to get headphones.
Oh, we're going to do that too? Okay. It's like the last 5 minutes of the podcast. Just chill out, and it'll get there when it gets there. Here, I'm handing Neil the headphones. We probably should have sat these up anyway, but we weren't having a guest today, and I didn't really feel the need, so it's kind of on us. It's kind of just a thing. But all right, here we go. We're going to get the soundtrack for Creed 2 here. This is the official trailer. It is 2 minutes and 32 seconds, which is fine.
I did send the right thing, correct?
It appears to be the right thing. You ready?
Oh, I've never been more ready for anything in my life.
He's right over here. We had to separate him. He was fighting with the other inmates.
Hey, Donnie.
He's in jail.
Your father was a great man to me.
I don't know him. Ain't got nothing to do with me.
Well, I think you could be great, too.
You're sending the first one.
Oh,
what
okay.
What made you want to fight?
Wrong one.
Hold, I've got the other tight. One. Hold on. I've got it.
Hold tight. Hold tight. I saw official it. Trailer 2, and I thought it meant Creed 2.
Here we go. All right, we're showing Drago kill Apollo in the opening credits, or opening scene. Ooh, I like that music. That takes me back.
Oh, yeah.
We like the fitness montages around here. Apollo fixing his hair before the fight is one of my favorite moments.
Let's get ready to rumble. Yeah. Throw your hands up. Throw your hands up.
Drago's kid's a big dude.
Drago's huge. Where you at?
All they see is black venom in my silhouette. Just watch the fear reappear in their eyes when I hit the set.
Sort of modernized the montage.
Yeah, we've got both of them fighting. We're working out here. And we're kind of doing the same thing as Rocky IV. We've got the Russian doing like the state-of-the-art stuff, and Creed more in the, not in the snow in Moscow, but a little more nature. Showing some cemetery footage too. Had to get that in there.
Yeah.
Had to get the cemetery footage in. Shooting basketball. That's
they needed a little more dialogue.
Oh, it has no dialogue. I was expecting dialogue.
I was too.
Right, left, then left, right. I seen him stutter. He didn't duck and got stuck with your uppercut. Now hear the crowd screaming. It's like they feeding. Oh, don't you?
I'm not doing 3 minutes of this,
no.
But that's kind of what. Oh, you're playing it in your computer, too.
Well, I'm just kind of watching.
Is this real? Hold on a second. Creed 2 teaser trailer. Let's see what this is.
Okay. We need somebody to talk.
Is this not going to be talking either? We're showing Apollo and Creed in the ring. We're actually showing footage here, though. Are you watching this as well?
Yeah.
Are you not?
No, I have it on.
Can we get dialogue? Give us something here. I know in teaser trailers, typically there's not a lot of dialogue, but I expected something.
Yeah, we need some dialogue.
Okay, that's not going to have any dialogue either. Are we not to the point where we get dialogue yet? Is that the problem?
I don't know. I mean, it's not till November. Maybe they don't want to give too much away.
As bad as you can get.
I ain't training if you don't get the treatment. So if I'm
showing...
You're doing it for yourself. Not for me. Not your father's memory. But for you and what you take back with you. You know what that is, man? What matters is what you leave in that ring and what you take back with you. I can see in your eyes.
Nothing compared to what you've done. You taught me how to fight again. I want you to go across this ring and knock that son of a bitch down.
Say it.
I'm going to knock that son of a bitch down.
See, that was better. That got me hyped a little bit there. That was better.
That was good.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm in. I'm always going to be in. But, dude, I don't know. This is the eighth one? I mean, we're getting into, like, slasher flick territory for sequels.
Something wrong with that?
No, I guess not. I do watch... Stallone's, like, almost 80 or something, and he's still... doing this crazy stuff, working out every day.
See, this is where I would normally ask Siri how old Sylvester Stallone is. Instead of having to look it up, she would just tell me.
Oh, he's 71. I had him a decade off. He's 71. But still. Dude looks like that at 71. You're not going to look like that at 71.
How do you know?
I mean, I guess you can get on the roids for the next 20 and see what it looks like.
I mean, I finished pretty high up in the Peloton races.
I searched Sly here to get an age. We'll close with this. One day ago from Deadline and KOMO, whatever that is, Sylvester Stallone in line to take on Mexican Cartel in Rambo 5. Are we still in?
No.
You're not in Rambo?
No, because it's not possible that he would be able to do all that stuff.
It's the baddest man ever.
Well, he was, but...
Like in First Blood, when there's like, it's only one man, and dude goes, hope he brought enough body bags. Because he's taking out the entire infantry.
He was a bad man.
He was a bad man.
John McCain planning his own funeral.
Yeah.
Now regrets picking Sarah Palin. Would you want to plan your own funeral?
A lot of people do this. This is very, very common.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're planning your lack of a funeral.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that, honestly.
I don't either.
I know a lot of people that plan it out down to the music and stuff for sure. Kind of list the pallbearers. A lot of people like, you know, take it and just like kind of staple it in the front of their Bible so everybody knows where it is when the time comes.
Really?
It's kind of there, yeah.
Oh, I'd never heard of that.
Yeah.
I'm not making fun of it either. I never heard of that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get
it. I respect whatever.
I understand having some control over that.
You know where I stand on this. I have complete respect for anybody's wishes on any of that type thing, no matter
whatever
how.
Whatever level
no matter
that is.
What it is, I have total respect for it.
And as I've always told you, I've always felt that memorial services and whatever aspect you have them, it's more about the loved ones and the family members coping and grieving than it is the actual person who is deceased.
Yes.
It's kind of just the way I feel about it.
Right.
I mean, it's a celebration of life and all those things, but from a coping mechanism, obviously, it is designed to help that process, in my opinion. So, didn't know we were ending the podcast there today, but alas, we are. We also started it with Tommy Tuberville in 1998, which I was not expecting either. So,
just never know.
Be back tomorrow, guests throughout the week on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. Plenty of more podcasts from MPW Digital as well. I'll talk to you then.